Welcome to the ISF Podcast from the Information Security Forum. The ISF Podcast is hosted by ISF CEO Steve Durbin, and every episode he brings listeners features timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. Today, Steve and I discuss artificial intelligence and the board, what they need to know, updates on evolving regulations in the EU and the US, and how security professionals can best communicate with organizational leadership around this technology. Steve, thank you so much for being here today.
It's great to be here and great that we're talking about such an interesting topic in artificial intelligence.
Yes, agreed. I know it's been coming up a lot. There's just so much angst around AI right now. It's such a new technology. It's evolving and it's changing so incredibly quickly. And I know that many people just don't know what to make of it or where and how it's going to fit into their enterprise.
No, that's right. You know, and I've written about this and said many times that if you ask me whether I'm an AI optimist or an AI pessimist, it really does depend on the day and maybe even the hour. My own opinion and attitude towards AI does fluctuate pretty constantly as I think we learn more about it. We learn more about the attempts to regulate it. So certainly, you know, if people listening to this are feeling the same way, then they certainly aren't alone.
Right, right. Well, we'll see how we feel by the end of this conversation. Who knows? The first thing I think to say is that in some ways, AI is really no different than any other technologies, in that while determining how to integrate it, if we do, we need to prioritize security.
That's right. I think we do. And I think that, you know, one of the things that it's worth saying is that AI actually isn't all that new. I mean, the basic technology, we've been talking about machine learning and that kind of thing, and we've seen that in universities, in research labs, probably for about the last 40 years. What has happened this year is, thanks primarily to ChatGPT, it's really hit the headlines, and it's now something that every dinner party, you know, has a view on. But for security professionals, this is fundamentally a data challenge. What we're trying to do, what we have to do, is keep our data safe and our organizations secure in the ever-evolving landscape of use of artificial intelligence. Now, how to do it, of course, is very much easier said than done. But for those who are working with this on an ongoing basis, if you've already built in certain security measures around confidentiality, integrity, availability of data, and you're confident in the way in which your data has been collected and stored, then AI security won't be an entirely new concept for you. And indeed, it will be much easier for you to explain some of the implications of it to business leaders and to your boards. And the case for AI security that I talk about is essentially that data is the fuel for AI. It can't work without data. And we have to protect that data at all stages of its life cycle. And when we at the ISF have talked about threats, and we've been talking about AI-related threats now probably since about 2019, I've always said that my biggest concern isn't so much exfiltration of data. It is about the tampering with data that we use for that decision-making. Because AI will use that data like we haven't seen before. So any misinformation or adapted data can have pretty dire consequences depending on how it will be used. So we're back to some of those old chestnuts that we've talked about, you know, many, many times. We need to make sure that the data is protected. It may need to be encrypted. Access to it must be controlled. And we can do all of that. And this is the good news, because I know you like me to talk about good news.
I do. Thank you.
And the good news is that we can do that through well-established means that are out there for authentication and indeed authorization.
I really agree with you about the fact that we're not reinventing the wheel here. And organizations, as you've said, have been putting these things into practice for years if they've been attending to their security appropriately for years. Especially when I think back to the implementation of GDPR way back in 2016, that was a moment when many organizations stepped back and they started to think deeply about how they could take in less data so there would be less to keep track of. But because AI may not be new, but feels new, it seems like it now offers another opportunity for enterprises to get really strategic
around how they can ensure the security of that data.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I do remember, you know, all those years ago when we were talking about GDPR, advising people that if they didn't have a suitable use for data, to get rid of it.
Right.
Because the smaller amount that you had, the better off you were going to be. AI, of course, thrives on data and produces very much more data as well. So this is the moment for security professionals to really come into their own and speak up about AI deployments in their organizations so that security can be considered at every stage from development to deployment and, importantly, ongoing maintenance.
Mm-hmm. So that's for the security professionals. Then for members of our board, what are some things that they should be considering around AI?
Sure. Well, boards of directors, of course, should be focused on somewhat bigger picture, but we kind of, I suppose, rationalize their considerations around AI down to about three specific areas of focus, I would say. The first one is understanding AI as a matter of corporate strategy and risk. So what I mean by that is it's about being aware of how AI is currently used across their organization and, importantly, perhaps by competitors, and how AI may disrupt the company's business and industry. And then they need to consider the strategic implications and risks associated with any AI products and services that they might be developing. And I put people into that context as well, because there is a lot of noise out there in the press about how the fact that, you know, AI is going to do away with a certain number of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually that boards of directors and organizations really do need to confront that and handle it appropriately and actually be transparent about what it does actually mean for their organization.
Mm.
And that's the first thing. Secondly, it's about considering, I think, the impact of AI activities. So what is the impact of AI applications on the business, on the way in which the business is going to operate, on stakeholders, for instance? And again, I come back to the people element in all of that. So having this, what will necessarily be an evolving roadmap of how you intend to make use of artificial intelligence across your organization and the business benefit that is going to be derived from it, I think is fundamental. And then finally, of course, boards are responsible for overseeing the AI-related compliance and controls for the entire organization. And they're going to have to consider the implications for compliance with what is now a changing legal, regulatory, and indeed ethical landscape. And then finally, you've got these governance implications of the use of AI and related policies and controls, all of which, I have to say, is going to be an increased burden on boards that are probably somewhat, I would say, still struggling in a number of cases to really understand the full implications of security, of data management, and the board's role in that. So, you know, again, trying to be positive about this, I think there's lots of opportunity with artificial intelligence, but we shouldn't underplay the requirement for increased education, increased insight, and I think we're going to necessarily see boards having to turn to industry-based experts to come in and give them a helping hand in this space, whether we're talking about pure compliance or whether we're talking about the way in which the technology is going to be evolving in general terms.
Right. There really is a lot to consider across those three areas that you just listed. So it's going to be really crucial for cyber leaders to present AI security issues in terms that board-level executives can understand and then they can act on. Can you give us some tips? How do they do that? I think that's always the question, right? The storytelling, the persuasiveness of security leaders with their board. So in this context, how are they going to do that?
Yeah, you're right, Tavia. It is absolutely crucial. And, you know, it highlights something that we constantly talk about, isn't it? Which is that security leaders really are a key member of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, I think, need to see themselves as such and position themselves as such, particularly in this space where they need to become advisors to business leaders and ultimately the board. So even though it may not be their job to set the company's risk appetite, it is important for security leaders to understand the scope of what the board is considering so that they can speak to a range of different points. Because I go back to this point that I made much earlier about data being the fuel.
Mm.
And security really should understand the implications of data and how it is going to be used. And I think that puts them into something of a special category. So when it comes to AI particularly, security leaders, you know, they are going to need to report AI risks to the board in financial, economic, and operational terms, not just technical terms, right, because you can very, very quickly lose people once you get into the weeds with this. So it's no good talking about some of the technical applications. You have to talk about the impact it's going to have, how much potential money it might save, what the upside is going to be. And I think also emphasize that it's still important for people to be supervising or monitoring artificial intelligence.
People.
And we're seeing that. It's back to people again, absolutely. And we're seeing that coming through in some of the evolving regulatory and legislative pieces that are coming out of, say, the EU, that are coming out of the United States, and generally around the world. And then I think one final thing I would say about security leadership is that they do need to think about how they can align AI risk management with the business needs by identifying how the processes they have for risk management and resilience can really support the direction that the business is taking. I think with AI, because it is so fast moving, because it is so, it's evolving at such a fast rate in the way in which it's being used and the potential applications, then this issue of risk appetite is also going to have to reflect that. And that may require a shift for some boards of directors and some organizations who perhaps have adopted a somewhat more staid or traditional approach to risk management. But AI will change all of that considerably.
Right. Well, that brings me to my next question, because the fact that this technology is so rapidly evolving, that's really one major obstacle to the clear communication that security leaders need to have with their boards. How do they get around that?
Yeah, I think the thing I would say is that you need to build in flexibility, because you're right. You know, things are going to change so very, very quickly. Generative AI in particular is going to continue to develop at a pretty breakneck pace. And regulatory responses undoubtedly will come into play. And they will be different depending on the geographic region and perhaps the size of organization. So this adaptability, agility, real requirement, I think, to be able to not just understand what the requirements are in the jurisdictions you happen to be operating in, but also what some of the challenges might be across the organization, and indeed with the user base. But underpinning it all as well is, I think, this need for transparency as to how, where, when AI is being used. Because people, I think, will, some would say legitimately, be somewhat concerned potentially about the way in which AI is beginning to become more widespread and will continue to do so across all elements of society.
Obviously, AI introduces additional governance questions for the board. So what should they be concerned about from that perspective?
Well, we've talked, you know, a bit about risk. And so firstly, they do need to explore what their risk tolerance is going to be for the use of generative AI. They need to consider what restrictions should be put in place to mitigate those risks, and how those will differ for publicly available applications such as ChatGPT, which I've already mentioned, versus generative AI models that are tailored to their businesses and used within that closed operating environment. Then they need to clarify who has the authority to make decisions on generative AI use, and what information do they have to share, and indeed with whom. And to answer those questions and ensure a clear process around AI, I would recommend that boards consider an AI committee to support them. And for me, as a starting point, that should consist of the chief executive, legal representation, HR representation, and then the CIO and certainly the chief information security officer as a minimum. So we're starting with, you know, five individuals effectively to form that committee. But there will be others who would perhaps come into that and drop off, depending on what it was that was happening and what the applications were that were being developed and so on. But that's the core team, I think, that should be providing support to the board and business leadership.
And one of the responsibilities of that committee, I would imagine, would be to keep track of all of the legislation and all of the regulations being considered and being implemented internationally. So no small task. What are the values, do you think, that regulation is taking into account? Are they consistent?
The first thing I'd say is that regulation analysis certainly should be the remit of the committee. So let's answer that one straight away. Then to your other question about, you know, is consistency and so on. Well, every country and region is independent, of course. But on the whole, AI-related regulation, irrespective of where you happen to want to plonk your flag, does seek to balance the interest in encouraging innovation with concerns about human rights and civil liberties, including, you know, things like rights around privacy, anti-discrimination interests, consumer safety and protection, you know, IP protection. There's been a lot of discussion around that, you know, lots of, particularly when you get into the world of the arts, information integrity, security, and fair business practice. Different parts of the world will focus on different elements of all of that to a different degree, depending on their politics, their particular stance as to how AI might be used. But that's the sort of broad-based, fully encompassing area that needs to be examined at some point, I think, by organizations.
Yeah. It seems that just as companies are getting ready to deploy AI and to harness whatever benefits it can offer, regulators are trying to anticipate, they're trying to imagine the future and the risks that might come up. So it's really sort of a mental exercise of imagining the unknown unknown.
Yeah, it is. And you know, as we said before, there's always going to be a tension for regulators with technology. And even now, as we're having this conversation, there's a law being proposed in the EU, the EU's AI Act, to try to regulate AI in a way that is not constraining and which is future-proof. And I think if they manage to pull that off, that will be something of a first for regulation. And you can see, you know, just in the way that I'm talking about that, that there is effort to try to understand and anticipate the future from a regulatory standpoint. And that is very, very difficult to do.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that EU AI Act? What do you know about it?
Well, listeners can read the entire text of the proposed legislation themselves. Of course, we'll post that in the show notes, a link to it. But there are a few notable requirements. So first, the law would require providers to ensure that AI systems are designed and developed in such a way that natural persons, that's you and I, are informed that they're interacting with an AI system. That's the most important thing, I think, right at the outset. Mm-hmm. It also requires a somewhat iterative process that would run throughout the entire life cycle of a high-risk AI system, with regular systematic updating taking place there. And the important piece for me is that the law also would require human oversight with an aim to prevent or minimize risks to things like health, safety, or fundamental rights that may emerge when a high-risk AI system is being used.
What's a high-risk AI system?
Well, AI systems that negatively affect safety or fundamental rights will be considered in the EU to be high-risk. And they're divided into two categories. So the first is AI systems that are used in products that fall under the EU's product safety legislation. So that includes toys, aviation, cars, medical devices, that kind of thing. AI systems falling into eight other specific areas will have to be registered in an EU database. So this is things like biometrics, it's management of critical infrastructure, it's education, employment, access to essential private services, public services and benefits, law enforcement, of course, you would hope that would be in there, migration, border control, and then assistance in legal interpretation and application of the law. So pretty comprehensive and trying, I think, as I said earlier, to be as forward-looking as it can be and anticipate some of the areas in which AI is going to be used, not just by private organizations, but also by governments and indeed by law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. There's another requirement of the law that I was hoping you could explain, and that is going back to instilling appropriate safeguards for the fundamental rights and freedoms of natural persons. And that's really broad language, I feel. So I'm not quite sure how those fundamental rights and freedoms are going to be widely agreed upon or how those safeguards are going to be enforced.
Well, fundamental rights and freedoms are pretty well understood terms in the EU and principally allow individuals and groups to express themselves, to believe and practice what they choose, and importantly, to exercise their right to vote. Mm. So they would include things like controls over privacy, medical consent, for instance, which is a very big one when it comes to AI-based research.
Mm. Well, we've talked a lot about the European Union's perspective here, but lest my fellow Americans think this is going to be an entirely EU conversation, on October 30th of this year, President Biden issued an executive order on safe, secure, and trustworthy artificial intelligence. So the U.S. is also deeply considering the implications for AI's safe deployment.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the executive order says that it establishes new standards for AI safety and security, protects Americans' privacy, advances equity and civil rights, stands up for consumers and workers, promotes innovation and competition, advances American leadership around the world, and very much more. Mm. That's the gist. But for people who are interested, again, I do encourage listeners to take a look at the full text of that executive order and just see what the overall scope is.
Mm. Well, we'll link to that in our show notes as well. You know, one word that hasn't yet come up in our conversation much, you might have said it once, but this is linked to everything we've discussed so far, and that's ethics. Because, of course, ethics, it's a through line running in the background, I feel, as we're talking about considering users' privacy, risk management, all the reasons we mentioned why governments would want to and need to regulate AI. So can you talk to us just a bit about how businesses can integrate ethical considerations into AI systems, since that's so essential to ensuring security, privacy, human rights are not compromised?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the first thing I would say is that organizations, right at the beginning, need to find a way to clearly define their ethical principles. And in fairness, we are seeing very many more organizations now being much more transparent about that on their websites and in their public-facing documentation, like annual reports mm-hmm. and so on. So that's the starting point. From there, they need to ensure that their principles are being considered by teams that are diverse and inclusive. And you know, that can sound just like loads of different buzzwords. Mm. But when looking at something like AI ethics, it's so important to consider it from so many different angles,
right.
Understanding that this will potentially affect everyone. Because as I said earlier in the podcast, AI works off data. So you have to try to remove any of these challenges before AI gets its hands on it. And then you have to do an ethical risk assessment. You'll also want to do bias detection and mitigation to ensure that whatever AI system you're implementing or putting in place doesn't discriminate against or harm any category of people. And then every organization should consider informed consent.
Mm.
You know, users must know that they're interacting with AI systems. And finally, then there must be this element of human oversight, whatever that will look like for organizations. And I think they should be able to decide them on the most appropriate element of oversight for themselves, but it has to be in place.
Right. Well, at this time, it's just an ethical question, but those elements could soon be legal issues in Europe, in the US, perhaps in other places as well. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And with ethical considerations, every enterprise should be considering stakeholder engagement, figuring out how to put review boards in place so that as AI is implemented in various different aspects of the business, there's a process in place to ensure that the various ethical questions that will inevitably arise have been appropriately examined.
Hmm, that makes sense. And even beyond the ethical considerations, which are so important, it seems to me that so much of this conversation really is about just good business. If you don't consider the impact on your own workforce, you won't be able to retain talent. If you don't consider the impact on your own users, you won't retain them. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Tabor. I think that's spot on.
So to summarize, AI, this emerging, rapidly shifting technology, is going to introduce new ways of working, as well as new associated threats. Keeping AI on the right track will require collective research, ethics, transparent strategies, proper industry incentives, and regulation is not going to be standardized anytime soon, if ever. So adaptive, flexible governance, and therefore adaptive security, is going to become the norm in successful businesses. We know that boards, as always, have a key role to play in developing their organization's policies and processes, and now around AI, as well as everything that came before. And finally, security will need to support all elements of AI's rollout. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to that mix?
I think what I would say, Tavor, is going back to what we talked about earlier, you know, people shouldn't forget that data is the absolute fuel for AI. And so we have to go back to the basics. And I said the other day when I was delivering a keynote on artificial intelligence and the future for cyber, this for me is one of the moments where security can really step up and demonstrate its value. And they don't come along that often. But we have here a technology that is so fast moving, evolving so quickly, and is absolutely dependent on the traditional basis upon which we've always talked about security, you know, confidentiality, integrity, and availability of data. And so it's an opportunity that security leaders really shouldn't let pass them by.
Well, lots of food for thought today. Some really good practical ideas for listeners to start thinking about implementing in their own enterprises. Thank you for being here to walk us through all of this. I just want to confirm, in case you were wondering, I am not an AI. You have been in conversation with a human person. So I just want to keep clear about that. Thanks so much for your time, Steve. Great to be with you.
Thanks, David.
ISF member listeners can log into ISF Live to access our most recent research on artificial intelligence and machine learning, securing operational machine learning systems. If you'd like to become an ISF member, get in touch with your regional representative at securityforum.org/join. Be sure to check the show notes for a list of recent ISF podcast episodes that center around AI and machine learning. If you want to help support the ISF podcast, it will help new listeners find us if you give us a 5-star rating and write a quick review. Thanks in advance. Be sure to check out the ISF Analyst Insight podcast, which goes in depth on the hottest topics in information security. In every episode, ISF analysts hand-select active security professionals from ISF member organizations to discuss how the implementation of ISF research uniquely applies to their real-world context. We hope you'll listen. Check the show notes for a link. And feel free to get in touch. You can contact us at securityforum.org. The ISF podcast is produced by TalkBox Productions and Tavia Gilbert, with senior producer Katie Flood. Mix and master by Kayla Elrod. Additional support from Mandy Morish, Oscar Falk, and Brian Wilson. Music by Alexander Filipiak. Thanks for listening.